So, are you ready for the message this morning? Are you ready? Come on, the title of my message is called The Just Shall Live By. Come on, let's say that together. The just shall live by faith. Come on, say it with some grit. The just shall live by faith. I want this word to sink deep within our hearts and our souls, into our minds, so that tomorrow when you wake up early and you're struggling to get out of bed, you say to yourself, the just shall live by faith. On Tuesday, when you're sitting at home and your kids are climbing the walls and they're going crazy, you say to yourself, come on, moms, the just shall live by faith. On Wednesday, you've got an appointment and you're so scared to go and give a presentation. Say it to yourself as you sit in your car and gather up your courage, the just shall live by faith. On Thursday, you've got an exam in school and you haven't really slept much last night preparing and studying, and you're nervous, you're worried you're going to forget what you've studied. Say it to yourself, come on, students, the just shall live by faith. I believe God is calling us to step into a greater realm of faith. You can hear the testimonies, you can hear the sound of what the Spirit of God is saying week in and week out. You and I have a destiny, and we cannot be who God has called us to be without faith. A faith that is active, a faith that is alive today. Not just a faith of what God has done in the past. Not just a faith of what God is doing today. But a faith for tomorrow. A faith that believes God is going to do the impossible tomorrow. That He has already made a way. That He has already provided. I believe as our faith increases as individuals and as a church, so will our impact. I believe that as our faith increases, so will our reach widen. As our faith increases, so will the anointing upon your life increase. As our faith increases, the gifts that are already within our lives will begin to flourish and begin to multiply. Our purpose moves by faith. The kingdom moves by faith. The plans of God moves by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. Impossible. Faith is not just one of the things that we need to get a grip of as believers. It is the number one thing that we need to move in our lives in if we want to experience God. Meaning if you do not have faith, you are actually displeasing to God. Faith is one of the most important topics that we need to get a grip on. Our faith needs to be paid attention to. It cannot be on cruise control because faith is not natural. Faith is supernatural. If your faith isn't doing well as a believer, then you are not doing well. Like our bodies, we need to take care of our bodies. And we oftentimes would go to the doctor to get regular health checks because we can look all fine and fly on the outside. But inside, our organs are all damaged. Inside, our blood sugar is going crazy. Our pressure is going up and down. So we need to go for regular checks. The Bible says to test yourself to see if you are in faith. So let's test ourselves this morning. Are you in faith? Are you 1 minute praising God, the next minute despondent and depressed? Are you 1 minute singing the praises of God, the next minute angry and frustrated? Do you struggle with worry? Are you struggling with anxiety, with sleepless nights, with headaches, with chronic stomach pain and ulcers? Do you feel overwhelming sense of helplessness and hopelessness come over you? You experience thoughts of ending it all. I'm not here to spiritualize all mental health conditions, but more and more scientists and doctors are saying that the breakdown in the heart and mind is what leads to sicknesses and diseases. 1 John chapter 1 verse 2 says, I wish above all else that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. When you prosper in the soul, it means you have a mind renewed. A mind that lives by faith in God and not by sight. Psalm 16 verse 8, David says this, I have set the Lord always, always, always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence, there it is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, David faced some incredible pressures in life. There were people who tried to kill him. His own family was out to end his life. But David managed to stay the course. Why? Because he said this, I have set the Lord always before me. It is faith in God that allowed him to keep his joy, allowed him to stay in peace, allowed his body to be at rest. That his faith in God is what allowed the presence of God to continually fill his life so that he experienced joy in the midst of turmoil, joy in the midst of trouble. Let me ask you today, do you have faith? It is faith that moves God. It is faith that keeps us steady in life. God is no respecter of person, but let me tell you this, God is a respecter of someone's faith. Jesus would always credit a miracle to the person's faith. The 10 lepers, because of your faith, you are healed. The blind man, because of your faith, you are whole. The woman with the issue of blood, remember that story? You know, nothing in the Torah gave her the 7 steps to her healing and breakthrough. She just said within her heart, Jesus is here. I believe what he said he is. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe I can receive my miracle from him. No one had said, if you would touch the edge of his garment, Jesus had never healed anyone through that way before. Jesus wasn't even thinking about healing anyone as he walked his way through the crowd, as he made his way to Jairus' house. But as he pushed his way through the crowd, he felt power leave him. Now that says something. That the power of God is always available to heal, to deliver, to set captives free. There is no limit to what God can do. God's not withholding. God is a God of abundance. A God who wants to bring life and everlasting joy into our lives. That also says that you can holler out at Jesus. You can call his name. You can cry. You can, in fact, be very close up next to him, rubbing shoulders with Jesus. But that doesn't mean that your breakthrough is released. It is released through faith. It is released through faith. When he turns around and sees the woman has been healed and he hears the story, what does he say? It is your faith that has made you whole. Your faith. The power of Christ was what brought the cure, but his power was applied in connection with their faith. We're going to dig a little deeper into faith this morning, running through a couple of scriptures in Hebrews 10 and 11. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn over to that and get ready for the word. I believe within our hearts today, we're going to the next level of faith. Church, we are going to the next level of faith. We're going to see more miracles, signs and wonders that will be happening in our lives and in this place. We're all going together. No one left behind. Can I get a good amen? Now, the original purpose of the book of Hebrews was to encourage mid-first century Jewish believers to persevere in the Christian faith, in the face of crushing pressure, to recant faith in Christ and to revert or to remain to the Jewish system with all its laws, with all its rituals and rites. The writer in Hebrew is saying that the faith you are experiencing now, when you look back towards the cross, is the same faith that others experienced for hundreds of years when they look forward to the cross. I want us to understand that the principle by which we obtain salvation through faith is the same principle by which we continue to live a lifestyle of faith. So we go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. And it says here, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. Come on, say that out. A great reward. A great reward. If you're struggling in your faith, know this, that you're not alone. Men and women of all have struggled with their faith. It's no surprise to God. But what He does want us to do is to be honest about where we are at and to come with Him with our struggles. Amen. In verse 36, it says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. For now the just, come on, say this with me, the just shall live by faith. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul. In Hebrews 11, it says, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained, and one say obtained, obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which are visible. So the writer of Hebrew is saying this: don't give up. Don't throw in the towel to your faith. There is going to be a great reward. The just shall live by faith. Faith isn't an option in a believer's life. Faith is everything to a believer. Everything about a believer's life from start to end is about faith. We start by faith. How do we start by that? We all know it is by grace through faith that we receive the free gift of God, that we receive salvation. It's just by believing. It's a free gift. But it happens through faith. What does Paul say at the end of his life as he writes to Timothy? He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That is our goal for life. That is how we want to end. How to end well in life? Whatever circumstance you're going through, end it in faith. End it in trust. End it in believing in God. From beginning to end, keep the faith. And right in the middle, we walk by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith empowers who we are. Faith empowers everything we do for God. I don't have time to read this, but you can go back and read this in Romans chapter 12. It talks about a measure of faith. Now, this is different from a gift of faith. Gift of faith is given to certain individuals so that they can stir faith within others. But a measure of faith, which is said here in Romans, talks about a measure that is given to all. You have a measure of faith. Each one of us seated in this place who calls upon the name of Jesus has a measure of faith to fulfill our calling, to serve others. Faith is the normal way in which a believer lives out his life. It's how you flow. It's how you think. It's how you process. It's how you make decisions. It's not a concept that you visit on a Sunday morning and then forget all about it on a Monday evening. It is a lifestyle you live moment by moment. God is constantly leading us into encounters to think like Christ, to see like Christ, to move like Christ, to behave like Christ, to live like Christ, to have the mind of Christ. You see, when you see from God's perspective, everything changes. You will experience God in action. Yes, there are times that it's challenging. That is true. But let me tell you, for the most part, it's exciting. It's exhilarating. You find your purpose. There is boldness to you. There is courage in your eyes and in your heart. There is spirit and there is life. Like the writer of Hebrews says, and I say to you this morning, don't throw in the towel of your faith. Whatever you're facing today, don't give up. there is a great reward. Faith will not disappoint you. Even if things don't work out the way you expect it to work out, it is still going to work out for your good. In Hebrews 11 verse 1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith deals with things that are real, but it's not yet experienced by our five senses, because it says we haven't seen it yet, right? Hope is the expectation of a future. Now listen to me. Faith is the substance. It is matter. It is material. Some of us, you know, we think we don't experience miracles in our life because, you know, Pastor, I think my faith is too small. What does Jesus say? If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to Mount Kinabalu, go throw yourself into the South China Sea, and it will be so for you. So it's not about the size of our faith, because all of us are given a measure of faith. It's about the substance in which our faith is placed. You can have small faith in the right substance, and it will yield a great result. You can have a lot of faith in the wrong substance and not see a result. Some of us have got our faith in a substance called the stock market. And so when the stock market, our faith is so, some of us have faith in our achievements. And so when we fail, our faith fails. Some of us have our faith even in good things in life, like our marriage and our family. But these things are temporal. It will not last. A full house today is an empty nest tomorrow. Vows made today are easily broken tomorrow. In order for our faith to stand strong, in order for our faith to last, it needs to be placed in a substance that will not break, that will not crack, that will not falter, that will not fail. Our faith needs to be in a substance of true integrity, and that substance is God. Over and over and over throughout Scripture, what does it say? Have faith in money. Have faith in the government. Have faith in the economy. Have faith in God. Put your trust in God. But Pastor Debbie, how do I know that God can be trusted? Because God is true. God is true. There is nothing false. There is nothing manipulative or deceptive about God. Truth is fundamental when it comes to trust. Don't you agree? You cannot have trust when you do not have truth. In a world that's dominated by lies and manipulation, it becomes almost impossible sometimes to figure out what is deceitful and what is truth. Deceit is everywhere, and many of us, we've been burnt. We've learned that, you know, we can't trust people, right? Now I read in the news all kinds of things, macam-macam is happening. As a result, we tend to transfer our trust, you know, to ourselves. I'm only going to trust myself. And that leads to further confusion, because our own judgment, our own heart is filled with sin and deceit. We can't really discern what is right and wrong, what is good and what's best. So the Bible says this, if everyone is a liar, this is what the Bible says. Numbers 23, 19, God is not a man. He does not lie. He's not human. He doesn't change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Look throughout Scripture. Whatever he promised, he fulfilled. Has he ever promised and not carried through? No matter what deception lies in the hearts of people, let me tell you this, God is not a man. He cannot lie. Not only does he speak what is true, he is truth himself. He is the very definition of what is truth. John 14, 6, Jesus says, what? I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God is trustworthy because he is true. And that means everything he says is true and can be trusted. The whole Bible is filled with the words of God breathed into the hearts and minds of prophets who wrote down messages for us today. That means we can trust every single word in this Bible because it is God who inspired absolute truth. Revelation 21 verse 5, the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." Not only that, he has sent his spirit. What's his spirit called? Spirit of truth that leads us into all truth. If you really seek his counsel, he will tell you what is true, and you can bank on it because his counsel is always right and it can be trusted completely. Can God be trusted? God is holy. That means there is no sin in him. 1 John 1 verse 5, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. Every terrible thing we experience in life, every pain, every heartbreak is not because of God, it's the result of the presence of sin on the earth. God has no part in sin. He's not to be blamed for the evil things that hurt us. The amazing thing about God is this, that although he is holy and that he has never sinned, he took our sins upon himself. He paid the price for our sin. He sacrificed his own life. He made a way for us to be reconciled to the Father, to have access in relationship with him. Hebrews 7:26, he's a kind of high priest we need because he is holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He has been set apart from sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. Unlike those other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifice every day. They did this for their own sins first and then for the sons of the people. But Jesus did this once for all when he offered himself as a sacrifice for the people's sin. If you have not yet accepted Jesus and made him the Lord and Savior of your life, you can do so right now. Just say, "God, I believe you. I believe in the way that you have made for me. It's not about my efforts. I am hopelessly lost in my own efforts. But I trust in what you have done. And I declare, Jesus, you are Lord. You are my Savior." And receive that free gift of eternal life. Imagine how much he must love us, church. Someone who's so holy, who's willing to do this for the sins of mankind. He is a good God. Amen. He is a good God. Can God be trusted? God is immutable. That means he never changes. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. James 1:17 says, "Whatever good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning." He never changes. Meaning if he loves you on your best day, he's loving you on your worst day. He's loving you 10 years from now. He's loving you a million years from now. His love does not fluctuate. It does not change. He's not up one moment, down one moment. His faithfulness strong one day, weak on the other day. He's constant through the ages. God never changes. He is omniscient. That's what Pastor Rami said just now. He has all wisdom. He knows everything. He's not just smart, okay? He's not just knowledgeable. He understands what there is to understand about everything. Hebrews 4:13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. He is the one to whom we are accountable. Can God be trusted? God is just. I want this to sink into our hearts. Everything he does is right. Deuteronomy 32 verse 3 to 4 says, "I will proclaim the name of the Lord. How glorious is our God. He is the rock. His deeds are perfect. Everything he does is just and fair. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. How just and upright is he." Now, let's be honest. Sometimes it feels that God is unjust because unjust things happen to us, doesn't it? We live in a fallen world. Sin is a terrible thing. And unfortunately, the pain of consequences of a life of sin doesn't just always land on the sinner, it lands on the innocent as well. But God is not the one who causes injustice. In fact, the Bible says God hates injustice. God is just, and although sin has been allowed to rule for a season of time, you cannot mock the justice of God. God is watching, God is working, His vengeance is coming, and He will give out justice in the end. Despite what we see or feel, the justice of God will be satisfied. Galatians 6, verse 7 to 9, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired in doing good at the right time. We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel to your faith. God is a God who is just. God is sovereign. Sometimes we get a bit messed up. You know, God is sovereign. You mean He can do whatever He wants. And why did that bad thing happen? And some of us have been through some messed up things in life. God has given the earth to mankind to rule. But even through the good, the bad, and the ugly, the humanity of God is working every single thing together into a plan that will ultimately be for our good and for His glory. Can we say amen to that, church? Do you believe that? He is working all things out. What man intends for evil, He is working out for good. Now, here's the thing about God. We're not God. Can I get an amen? God is greater, He is higher than who we are, and sometimes we gotta be okay with that. We gotta be okay with accepting that He is true, He is just, He is holy, but I don't fully understand how He works. And it's okay. It's okay. Faith is simply this. Are you ready? It's super easy. It's acting like God is telling the truth. What is faith? It's simply acting like God is telling the truth, because He is. He is. Not just feeling like God is telling the truth. Not just saying, you know, the just shall live by faith. You know, no. We walk by faith and not by sight. That is where the rubber meets the road. Walking by faith. Faith is saying, God, I trust Your character. God, I trust that You have integrity. And therefore, I trust Your word. Because You have integrity, Your word has integrity. Because You can be trusted, therefore Your word can be trusted. And I choose to act on Your word. If you want to see God move physically upon your life, you must believe that God is able. And not just that, you must act on that belief and watch God. Watch what God will do in your life when you begin to move in faith, believe in faith, speak with faith, walk by faith, believe in faith, give by faith, serve by faith. Watch what God will do. It's not impossible, because men and women of old has done it. Verse 2, for the elders obtain a good testimony. Now, notice when I don't have time to go through the list of those that the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews is talking about the different men and women. You can go back and read about it, do a bit of Bible study on it on your own, read through the different names, go back to the Old Testament, study, write down things that have inspired you. But let me tell you this, in that list, there are liars, there are manipulators, there's a murderer in there, there's an ex-prostitute in there. But the Bible calls them elders. And that's good news for you and me today. It doesn't matter what your background looks like. It doesn't matter what your history may say. It doesn't matter what your past mistakes have been. If you would bring your life to Jesus today, if you will have faith in Him and in His word, if you will surrender to His will and live your life in faith of what He says He is and what He can do, then let me tell you, your name's added to the list. You and I are added to the hallmark of fame. And we're going to rejoice with all of these saints one day in heaven. Another thing you notice from this portion of scripture is you don't obtain if you haven't completed what you were assigned to do. Notice it says the elders obtain. They obtain a good report. They obtain a good testimony. How many of you go to college and the first day you sign on the dotted line of college, immediately you get your graduation certificate? How nice, huh? Sign, only pay the money. Whoa, graduated lah. No, you got to fulfill the requirements, right? You got to do some group projects, mixing around with other people, annoying people. You got to finish your assignments. You got to take some tests. How many of you love tests? How many of you were so excited when Cikgu will say in school, minggu depan ujian ya? Mel loved exams. How many of you love a good test? No, none of us, we hate tests. I don't know about you, but I used to hate tests. But it's part of the process, right? You want to graduate, you want to get the cert, you got to do the deed. You got to do what's needed. Part of the curriculum for our life is that God will put us in a test. And a good teacher will only test you on what has already been taught to you. Throughout Jesus' life, as he walked with his disciples, he would teach them, he would instruct them, he would demonstrate to them, and then he would test them. What was he testing? He was testing their faith. Okay, guys, we're going to go over to the other side. Everybody gets in the boat. He's there sleeping and a huge storm hits the boat. Ah, Jesus, you don't care for us. A huge crowd is out in the wilderness. He's teaching from morning till night. Okay, guys, now y'all feed them. All the kedai dah tutup dah. What food? Anybody know? All whatever they ate long time ago. What was he doing? He was testing their faith. Whether they really believed what they heard. Like a lot of us, right? On a Sunday morning, amen, pastor, preach it. But we don't put into practice what we've learned. We need to move from theory to activity. Many of us pick and choose what we're going to believe God for. We believe him for the things we like, but the things we don't like, we just kind of ignore. But that's not living by faith. I declare that today is graduation day, that we are going to take the test and that we are going to pass with flying colors. Amen, church. No longer we're going to go round and round that same circle of depression and complaining and criticism and being frustrated. No, we're going to graduate. We're going to believe God. We're going to take God at his word. If God said it, I believe it. I'm going to live it. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to have confidence in my God. Today is graduation day. Come on, can we give God a clap offering this morning? Today is graduation day. By faith, we understand that the worlds, meaning the whole universe, were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are made by things which are not seen. The worlds we live in today, the world that we see is created by a world that is unseen. The spirit realm is birthed out. The spirit realm births the natural realm. All the galaxies in the universe, all that we can see. Imagine all of that, the stars, the planets, the black hole. I love, you know, there's these little reels online that they will kind of let you listen to the sounds of the planets turning. Have you heard that? You need to go and hear. It's amazing. It's amazing. All of that was created by someone you can't see using something you can't see. And that's how God works. It's always been his strategy. Out of nothing, he's able to create something. How does he do it? The Bible says, it says in Hebrews, by his word. And that word there is not the logos word, it's the rhema word of God. What has God spoken over your life? When you were in prayer and you were seeking the will of God, God spoke to your heart and you wrote it down. Hold on to that. Dig up scriptures that supports that. Read into it, study into it, memorize it, stick it up all over the place. Confess it and believe that. What has God spoken through a prophet over your life? Or through a pastor, through your connect group leader, as she sat down to pray with you, believing God for a miracle? What was the word that was spoken? Don't take the word for granted. When you were sitting down and you were reading your Bible and the word that came alive in your spirit, you felt your heart begin to beat. You knew that God was speaking to you. You wrote the date down and you circled it and you highlighted it and you wrote in the side notes and you said, this is the promise of God for my life, for my family, for my children, for the generations to come. What has God spoken over your life? Hold on to that word, because that word will produce fruit. That word will give you a great reward. 1 Timothy 1 verse 18, it says, this I charge to you, Timothy, according to the prophecies that were made concerning you, that by them you wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. None of us are going to suffer shipwreck this morning, because we're going to get a grip of the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, church. If you don't read the word of God, don't eat. No, that's a bit extreme, but that's what I do. Okay, personally for myself, I must read the word. Then only, I love my breakfast. I love butter and toast. How many of y'all love butter and toast? It's the best thing in the world, huh? And my cup of coffee. If I haven't read the word, I will not eat. And that is what we must do. Some of us, we only eat once a week. Can you imagine what you would look like if you ate only once a week? I don't think you'll even be here. Right? Some of us come to on Sunday only, that is when we hear the word of God. That is the only time we open our Bibles. Every day we must be feeding our spirit, and that is through the word of God. You want to be strong in your faith? Read the word, digest the word, memorize the word, speak the word. And when, let me tell you, when the word of God is within you, nothing can stop you. No demon can sideline you. No enemy can delay what God has for your life. Culture can't cancel you. Let me tell you, no weapon formed against you will prevail, because the word always works, because God always works. The word can never fail, because God can never fail. The word has integrity, because God has integrity. We're not talking about the word of any other person, Prime Minister. Some of us take those words so seriously. The words of our PM today is one another tomorrow. The words of our doctors, the words of scientists, the words of our teachers, the words of our parents. This is the word of God. This came from the mouth of the one that framed the world. This is the word that brought forth seasons and time, that suspends every molecule in this earth. It is through the word that sustains us, that keeps us together, that holds all things together. It is the word of God, and it is living and it is alive today. I have decided I'm not going to base what I believe in, what the cultures around me says, what the news around me says. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't know what you have determined in your heart, but this is what I've decided, that I'm going to live like God is telling the truth. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. If he has said it, it will come to pass. This I believe. Come on, what do you believe, church? What is your conviction? All of us must stand for something we're convicted about. There's no sidelines in the kingdom of God. There's no sitting on the fence in the kingdom of God. Either you're hot or you're cold. There's no lukewarm in the kingdom of God. If God said something, whether it's over your finances, whether it's about a certain behavior you need to course correct, or whatever he has said, you and I must say, God, I believe. God, I'm changing my lifestyle. God, I'm conforming to your word. God, I'm believing for my miracle. Not just for the great things, but work a deep work in my heart and in my life. I want to live a life of faith from the inside out, so that I will not be shaken and I will not be moved. If you read the Bible, you know that things are going to get from bad to ugly. And it's going to happen real quick. But if your faith remain strong, you will remain strong to any situation. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who said, even if my God is able to deliver me from this fire, my God is able to deliver me from this horrible situation, but even if, see, fear says maybe if, faith says even if I perish in this, it will still not stop my resolve that God is good, that his ways are perfect, and my God is faithful. What does Habakkuk say? Although the fig tree doesn't blossom, There's no fruit on the vine. The olive crop, it doesn't produce. There's no food in the ground. There's no sheep in the pen. There's no cattle in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in my God. Yet I will praise Him. Yet I will fill my heart with the goodness of God. Even if whatever circumstance may come my way, my faith is in God because God has integrity and He will not fail me. I close with this scripture. We're going to stand and we're going to declare some things this morning. In Jude, in verse 20, it says, "But you, beloved, building yourself up in your most holy faith." We need to build ourselves up in faith. And what does it say? That's what Pastor Ramesh said just now. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Speak in tongues. When you drive to work, remember my voice shouting in your ears, speak in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in the Spirit, stir your spirit, stir the gifts that's within you. When you do that, let me tell you, something within you begins to get activated. Your faith begins to get strengthened. Spirit, pray in the Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God. You know, I spoke to you guys a couple of, I think, months back about how we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. Use your words, your language. In the morning when you wake up, God, I love you. God, I praise you. You are good to me. I'm thankful for all you do. When you do that, you feel your heart begin to fill with the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal salvation. When we trust God, be determined today, I'm going to trust God no matter what I go through. And on some, having compassion, meaning having the heart of Christ. Do you have compassion for those around you? When you have the heart of Christ for those to seek and save the lost, your faith begins to stir. Making a distinction in verse 23, but others save with fear. Fear of God is an important topic. We must have love for God and a healthy dose of fear for God. As I said just now, God is a just God. Whatever you sow, you are going to reap. When you have the fear of God upon your heart, and you know, men may not see, my wife may not see, my husband doesn't know who I'm chatting with, but let me tell you, God sees. God knows. And you and I need to fear Him because He is a just God. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. We need to hate sin. Sin destroys. And sin will destroy your life if you will not get rid of it. If you have the power to get rid of it. You have the power to avoid temptation. And we must run from sin. Come on, let's stand to our feet this morning.